You're tuned to Perspectives, a weekly public affairs show which airs every Saturday right here on KTEP. Good afternoon, I'm Louis Sines, your host for Perspectives, and joining us today is Dr. Katie McCrory-Andelis, and she is the Associate Vice President and Dean of Students here on campus, and she's going to tell us a little bit about what's going on with various student organizations and, you know, what students can expect here on campus, and particularly as a lot of you are filling out forms now for applications to colleges, scholarships, etc. If you're still in high school and parents are listening at home, we're going to tell you hopefully a little bit more about what you can expect. Dr. McCrory-Andelis, thank you very much for being with us here today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And may I call you Katie?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. Katie, first of all, let's talk a little bit about your title as Dean of Students. We've heard about, you know, the Dean of the College of Liberal Arts, Dean of such and such college, etc. Dean of Students, what does that mean?
Well, essentially it means I have a responsibility for all students on campus. So unlike the deans of the college who are focused on the students that are enrolling in their particular programs, I have responsibility for all of our students, both undergraduate and graduate, specifically that they are engaged beyond the classroom, that what they do outside the classroom is complementing what they're learning in the classroom, supporting them to their time to degree, helping them find employment, and really enjoying the university experience and exploring it to the fullest potential. And that can mean any number of ways, whether it's living on campus or getting involved in our rec center or finding services that offer them support for challenging or troubled times that they may encounter during their time here.
This is the time of year, of course, as we're wrapping up the semester, but just around the corner, we have a new semester coming up. And there are some people who feel a little bit frustrated, perhaps, because they say, you know, what are you majoring in? What are you going to major in? And some people don't know yet. And I tell them, it's okay. You still have time. So what is one of the concerns as far as students who may be afraid of enrolling in college because they may not know what they're going to study?
Well, I think, first of all, you hit the nail on the head that it's very common for students not to know what they're going to study. And actually, while they're enrolled at the university, it's pretty predictable that they're going to change their major or their academic emphasis upwards of 5 times. I think what's really important, though, that students know about college is an opportunity for them to explore different majors. And the best way to do that is to get involved on campus. Certainly go to class, certainly take the courses that you have an interest in, but get involved in a student organization that perhaps is also dealing with that type of topic, like an engineering club if you're interested in engineering, nursing if you're interested in nursing. Get employed on campus. That's a great way to learn what your true skills are and what you want to do. Get involved in the performing arts and the theater area. All of those areas give you an idea and start narrowing down, per se, what you want to do with your life. And then as you get more engaged on campus, doors start to open with faculty and staff and alumni who can then serve as your mentors to progress towards the career choice that you're interested in. But I think what's most important is when you go to college that you pursue it to its fullest potential. So don't narrow yourself to so specific that you don't have the ability to get involved in something that's, you know, a little different than what maybe you have thought about in high school. So it's a great way to explore.
A lot of times during this time, juniors and particularly seniors in high school will start to feel pressure because they're thinking, I'm almost going to graduate. I don't know what I'm going to do. I have to go to college because that's what my parents expect. And I know I've told my daughter, I've told some other kids, who made the rule that said when you turn 18, you have to go to college. And some of them feel that pressure because mom was a doctor, dad was an attorney, et cetera, and they feel like they have to go and follow those same footsteps.
I think that's the case for many students. I think what's important for us at UTEP and what our mission is that everyone has the access and the ability to go to college if that's an option they want to pursue. But I think even while in high school as a junior or a senior, look for those opportunities at the high school level or in your community through community service and whatnot to help you identify what your true passion is in life. And I always tell students, if you find your passion, it's no longer work. It's exciting. It's something you're – sworn to do. You wake up every morning eager to go off to whatever that career may be. What's also nice, though, about college is that your first year with your curriculum is designed in such a way so that you do get a vast array of experiences. You get a little bit of everything that first year. You have some math, you got some science, you got some sociology, psychology, whatever it may be, to help you narrow down your scope. But at the end of the day, you know, what's important is that you're passionate about what you want to do with your life, no matter if that means college or a trade, culinary school, whatever that may be. But to start exploring that. And there often are opportunities right in around our home, in our community, that can help you do that. Service is a great way to know where your abilities lie and what you're interested in.
We're starting to see a lot more older students, non-traditional students who are coming. And you mentioned service, perhaps sometimes, you know, these are people who have served our country and they decided to come to school afterwards. But in some instances, it may be a single parent or it could be somebody who I just talked about earlier. They were 18. They're not ready for school yet. But all of a sudden, they turn 22, 23, and they said, I think I need to do something now.
Absolutely. I think that is a trend. We're seeing it nationally. I think the economy definitely has something to do with that as folks look for a change of career, further opportunities. You know, jobs and really careers essentially several years ago that did not require even a bachelor's degree are perhaps now requiring even a master's degree. So folks need to garner the additional experience, and UTEP's a great way to do that. We do have a tremendous amount of folks coming back after serving in the military or are going to school while they're in the military. I think distance education is a great benefit for folks. No matter where they are, they can be enrolled in a course. What's nice about UTEP and I think our returning students really appreciate is the average age of our students are 25 to 27 once they get past really the freshman or sophomore year. So we're a non-traditional campus in many sense. We're not an 18 to 22-year-old campus as you see in a lot of other places. So I think folks find their fit, whether they're commuting to the campus or whether they're doing it through distance education in a particular program such as nursing. But it's a wonderful opportunity to have that ability to come back to school, and it's never too late to learn. Our society is moving in a way that education is absolutely instrumental in the vast majority of fields. And so to be able to come back to a campus like ours and get some hands-on learning and experience from, I mean, frankly, world-renowned professors is a true opportunity for anyone. And it's affordable. You know, we're now ranked, I believe it's 18th in the state with cost of tuition. It's incredibly affordable here.
I'm glad you brought that up, affordable, because that was a situation and an issue that came up a lot during the presidential election and even prior. The fact that, students are worried about student loans, about grants, about scholarships, and that those monies aren't out there. And also the structure, obviously you guys can't do anything about that. I'm talking about you as administration. But some of the stipulations the government has set up puts a lot of people out of the playing field by even just a few dollars.
No, I would agree. You know, it's been very, through my career, very challenging for me and difficult for me to watch as states have reduced funding for higher education. It wasn't too long ago that states were funding public universities in particular at 70% of their operating budgets, and it's now 30% or less. And that money has to come from somewhere in order to attract, first of all, the best and brightest of our faculty to come into a university. But it's challenging. It's challenging for students on the back end because they ultimately need to find the money to go to school. What I encourage students, though, or anyone, is don't give up. I think one of the greatest things that have come out of colleges in light of this is being very creative with funding and looking for opportunities for grants and scholarships and through financial aid. And sometimes it's a little challenging to do that, but I will say that we have folks even here at UTEP who will go above and beyond to find a way to help support students financially to attend school. And whether that means payment plans, whether that means looking for additional grants and loans, low interest loans, moving them towards grants that they can acquire the junior and senior year, it's a must. And I think we have a real passionate staff here, and I know at other universities as well, that are really looking out for that because I don't think students should burden that responsibility. But I'm hoping it will change, especially from the public sector. It's public education is here to support the community that they're in, and it'd be nice for them to be able to afford that along the way. But I think UTEP has done some amazing things to keep that cost low, especially when you look at we're an emerging Tier 1 institution and what our students have to gain by coming here for the cost of tuition that they're paying. But, on our campus, we've done some real creative things by adding more jobs on campus for students, having meaningful work for them so they don't have to go find another job outside campus, a number of things to help them not only financially but progress towards their degree in a timely manner so they get out in that workforce as quickly as possible in order to make some money and pay back whatever loans they may have.
Some students may be out there saying, I made a mistake. I made a big mistake because I enrolled right after high school and I wasn't ready. And so I ended up dropping out and now I'm ready to go back. Is that going to hurt me a lot? Am I going to have to do some extra work or go to a junior college? What do I need to do?
Well, I think every student's unique. And I think the first thing that any student needs to do is to come back in, work with an academic advisor. It all depends on your status and when you left the institution and whether it's a re-enrollment or whatever that is. But each step is doable. I think sometimes we get very overwhelmed with what we perceive as the complexity of coming back into an institution. But if we start breaking down those parts, it's very manageable. We have great advisors who can look back and say, what did you take? Core classes often don't change, so that's wonderful. So you can often pick those classes back up. Our advisors are also very realistic when especially they're working with students who may have some financial difficulties or may need some extra support academically, where best to get that help. And whether it's here at UTEP or with our partner institution of El Paso Community College, we have a great relationship. And what's nice about that is students can be constituted as full-time as long as they're enrolled 12 hours between the two institutions. So our advisors are great to say, perhaps you need that English class. Well, it makes more sense for your schedule to take it at EPCC because it's a time that's more manageable for you. But, your science class can be taken here. So they really try hard to look at each student individually to see what's the best for him or her. But come back. We can help you through all of that.
Sometimes as far as school goes, Katie, a student may have a problem they're encountering or, perhaps it's a problem for them. Maybe for somebody else it may not be a problem, but they don't want to talk to their parents about it. They don't want to talk to their teachers. Is this where the dean of students, as dean of students, you come in and perhaps they can talk to you or you'll find the right person to talk to them to address because, it might be a problem where it might be psychological, it might be illness, it might be something that, it's too private. They don't want to share with anybody.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what our division does, particularly my office and what my role is. We find out that information in a lot of different ways. Either students themselves will come in our office because they want to kind of distance themselves from their program or their employment or whatever and kind of a neutral place to go to, or our faculty and staff will pick up on things. Student seems a little down for the last couple of days or, all of a sudden did some great A and B work and now it's turning in C work. Something's going on. So there's a lot of communication back and forth and it's all in an effort to support students. So when they do make their way to our office, either through a referral or they themselves, there's a lot of things we can help them with. We've had students who unfortunately are dealing with an illness themselves and are concerned because they're going to have to miss classes or have missed classes. We have students who've had a family member, even a parent pass away, and all of a sudden they're having to deal with the entire household. We've had students who hit a very challenging financial difficulty, simply the stress. Our seniors, for example, that are ready to graduate are going through a lot of stress right now. That transition out of kind of the safe zone of college into the real world it's difficult, just as it is for a freshman coming in their first time. But my office in particular can help with all of that. We have a ton of resources for them. And it's kind of a layered approach depending on what the student's need is. So it could be simply a conversation with me to reassure them that what they're going through is perfectly normal and they're fine. And there's probably dozens and dozens of other people out there going through the exact same set of emotions that they are. Could be something where they need some further support, such as our University Counseling Center, which is a free service for them. It could be some career counseling. I'm not too sure what my major is. Have I made the right choice? I need to narrow it down. We have all kinds of folks who can assist with that. If it's an illness or a death in the family, we work real closely with the faculty to help them get excused from class for a period of time. It may be, you know, something as simple as a temporary disability. Broke my arm, can't take my test next week because I'm right-handed. We have accommodations for that too. So what's most important is that students find their way either through a referral from a faculty and staff member, a friend, a peer, someone they're working with, their employer, to our office so we can help them get to the end place that's best for them. So, but we have lots of support and services. And it's not a cookie cutter approach. We really look at each student as a unique individual that needs something special for them to be successful. And we've done all kinds of work.
In many instances, your job is very unique, for lack of a better word, here at UTEP because of the situation we've had in Juarez and the stress that the Mexican students are under, and not just the Mexican students, their friends, their family, and even some of the teachers who can't go over there and do any more collaboration with some of the institutions over there. But that has got to be very stressful when someone comes in and they're going to say, you know, my family was gunned down, or I've been getting threats. That's not the usual. I have an illness in the family, right, or something like that.
It's not. It's traumatic. It's very difficult because when students find themselves in those situations, you referenced it, it impacts so many other folks around them, not just their immediate family, but the teacher they have in the classroom or the friend that's picking them up at the bridge or whatever that is. We have had cases like that. I think what's wonderful is our students and their families see UTEP as really a safe place for their children, appreciate the support immensely. I often hear from family just thankful their child is over here going to school, whether it's, you know, two or three times a week or permanently on a semesterly basis. But, you know, with those students, we've really had to think a bit out of the box about how to service them. I think it was initially very hard for anyone to come forward and share what's happening when you're in such an intimidated environment. But they did, because we made it open and accessible for them, making sure we had folks who, you know, things we take for granted, speak their language. That's huge for us. And we took it upon ourselves to reach out to them. We have all of our students who are Mexican nationals. We can email them instantly. We can text them. We can call them. We can do a lot of different things to show that we're there for them. And I know they've appreciated that. And we do that same approach for some of all of our other international students. You know, we've had situations around the world, Libya and a number of different places, where, you know, we'll hear the night before of major incidents, and we'll send something out immediately. We're here for you. Come by and see us. And a lot of times what they're looking for is just simply someone who understands. They may not need the counseling yet. They may not need financial assistance yet, but it sure feels good to be able to walk into an office and say you get what's going on. And that's a nice thing for folks. So, you know, we're optimistic about the situation in Mexico. You know, we see improvement. That's definitely the case. We're also not going to lose sight of who we are. I mean, we certainly have restrictions on travel and things like that. But one of my roles is also to sit on our International Oversight Committee for Travel. And we have allowed folks to go to Mexico. I mean, we're on the border, and these are folks home. It's not simply a vacation destination. It's, you know, you and I both know we have folks who commute there every day, not just students, but our faculty and staff as well. So we don't want to lose sight of that, because that culture and that identity is so much a part of what UTEP is, and our bilingual publications, even down to our prospector that, you know, prints in both languages. So, you know, I think it's something we constantly need to have our pulse on. You know, it's something we can't take for granted, that we're right next to another country. Not too many people have that. Awesome. I think it's just an awesome thing to have happen here on this side of the border, on both sides.
I think sometimes, too, because you mentioned non-traditional students earlier, and some of those non-traditional students are not just the soldiers themselves, but also the spouses and the dependents of the soldiers who have been deployed. And they can go through a lot of problems as well, because all of a sudden it hits them that mom or dad isn't home. or my husband's not home, my wife isn't home, and she's not going to be home for another year. And so they have other things on their mind.
Very much, and we do get that. We have several folks here who are dependents or spouses going to school here or some way connected to the university working here, for example. We've expanded our military services operation. They just moved to a brand new facility in the library, and they're really trying to do much more to work with the military community in general. We have great partnerships with our folks at Fort Bliss, everyone from the education outreach arm of things to even the safety and security end of things. So we try very hard to support the community. I think what's wonderful about El Paso is this is a military town, so there's a lot of support in this town in general. And so that's nice to see that happen. But whether it's things like a recent football game where it was military night and we brought, you know, thousands of soldiers in to see a game along with their children and their spouses and whoever else was with them, that's exciting to do that or to host a picnic. Or we have several student organizations that are focused 100% on military, either dependents, children of military folks or vets or in different branches of the services. So we try to do a lot to show that. And I think it's an area of tremendous growth that we're going to see over the next couple of years, especially as the Armored Division has now moved back to Fort Bliss from Germany. That's just thousands and thousands of people coming into this town and will come into UTEP, not only here physically on the campus, but from a distant education standpoint as well.
Now, you oversee a lot of programs here on campus, as you mentioned at the beginning, and most of the programs we've been discussing have been either counseling or helping somebody else. But you have additional programs also that do not focus strictly on counseling. You want to share a little bit about some of those?
Yeah, I have several. I oversee our Student Engagement and Leadership Center on campus. It used to be known as the Student Development Center. That center is the place that oversees all of our student organizations on campus and major events. So, you know, for example, we have over 200 very active student organizations, which is a great way to get engaged on campus. You can find something for everyone from honor societies to service to just sheer fun. And frankly, if you can't find something, we'll create one for you. So that's good as well. The center is also responsible for major events like Minor Palooza and the Homecoming Parade and the big traditional things that happen on campus. We also have campus housing. We have about 650 students who live on campus right now, but that's a program that's growing. We have a plan of having upwards of 3,000 students living on our campus in the next 10 to 15 years. And we're looking at building some more pretty recently. They opened in 2014. But then I also have the Rec Center, which is probably our largest facility on campus just had a recent $32 million expansion onto it. And that's a center that has everything from intramural programs out there, outdoor adventure programs where we take students to the Grand Canyon and kayaking and you name it, not to mention all the health and wellness that students can do out in that center alone. So, but there's several like that. And then all the big traditions that affect students, Orange Out Fridays, for example, all that. So it'll be exciting. It's lots of way to get involved.
And as far as going, there are some people who like to get involved, but in a different way, and that is volunteering, because they like to help their peers. They like to help other people. Do you use a lot of volunteers?
We do. Actually, many of our student organizations have a component, if not all, have some component to volunteerism. We also are responsible for the event called Project Move, where we put upwards of 1,000 students out on the streets for one day for 4 hours all over El Paso area. And so that's exciting. But there's also the Center for Civic Engagement, which is a great way for students to get involved. And often they get their start because it's something that happened in the classroom. Accounting students, for example, working with local nonprofits and how to complete their taxes. And it's often the bug or the little tidbit that gets them going. So this community in particular gravitates towards service. We have thousands and thousands of hours of service being done by our students alone, not to mention our faculty and staff. And I think that's a product of this generation of students. They want to give back to their community and some way. And sometimes they'll do it internally where they'll volunteer simply to put a team together for intramurals, and then they'll take that team out to the community and work with the Boys and Girls Clubs. It pays it forward many, many times, twice over.
So is there some kind of training that these volunteers have to go through as far as especially if they're dealing with sensitive issues?
Yeah, every program is unique. So depending on the individual's comfort level, they'll first want to assess, what do I want to get involved in? So, you know, there's a big difference in I'm going to pick up some trash in the Arroyo versus working with victims of a massive crime. In those programs, there's training that the students will go through, and often it's a tiered process. So as an incoming freshman, it might be a little bit of a lower level versus by the time they get to a senior, they might be at a much more leadership role within that. So the recent election is a good example. We had students out there as poll monitors and doing other things with voting. So it just kind of depends on your interest, and you'll definitely have the training to whatever you would like to do.
And when you're talking about the dean of students, a lot of times that title, I don't want to say brings a sense of fear to somebody, but it can, because
yes.
It sounds almost like you're going to the principal's
right,
office.
Right.
And a lot of times, as you just mentioned, it's not just that. But if somebody does have some kind of discipline issue, or if they have an issue with somebody on campus that they feel they've been treated wrong, you are the person that
I
have
the person.
Say.
We also have an office that oversees all of student conduct and judicial affairs and what that process is for students, so that every student gets their rights under that due process. But then what's really key is that we try to communicate before any of that happens. You know, the bottom line is, once we get to a disciplinary sanction or a safety issue, no one wins at that point. So that's why, as I mentioned before, having folks or friends or colleagues say, hey, something's not right here, listening to your gut instinct is huge, because you know, maybe you notice the student's really stressed out and needs some additional help, and that's going to prevent them from cheating on an exam or whatever it may be, plagiarizing a paper or downloading something. So it's important to communicate, and that's really where my role is, to help find those resources and support for the students so we don't find ourselves in those types of situations.
And if someone is in need of getting in contact with your office, can you give us a phone number and perhaps a room number and email maybe?
Yes. Actually, the phone number to our office is 915-747-5648. We are located in Union West, number 102. It's right next to our University Career Center. And then the website for us is actually www.utep.edu/student-life, or the Office of Student Life, which is hopefully a friendlier, nicer office name for folks, and come in anytime.
We've been visiting with Dr. Katie McCory Andles, since she is the Dean of Students here on campus, and she's been sharing with us a lot about what you can expect through their office and the Student Life Program. If you need additional information, they're located at Union West, number 102. You can call 747-5648. Katie, thank you very much for being with us here today.
If you have a topic that you'd like Louis Science and his team of experts to pursue for Perspectives, you can reach us by coming to our website, ktep.org, click on the Contact Us button, leave your comments and suggestions, and make sure they go to Louis Science in care of Perspectives. A production of KTEP, all rights reserved, 2012, by the University of Texas at El Paso and KTEP.
Perspectives is taped and produced at the KTEP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer and producer, Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Perspectives. I'm Louis Sainz.